So, just 5 minutes I've got left, which is miraculous if I do this, but I just want to say three things, if that's all right. Is that okay? I wanted to talk about missional people, because that's who we are. And we've talked about having a mission mindset. When we talked about understanding we've been sent by the highest authority in heaven and earth to go and give the greatest message away to the world. We've talked about being incarnational in our mission. That is, we are God's hands and feet on the ground, where we live, amongst our families, our friends, our workmates, and our colleagues, and our neighbors, to be good news and to share the love and the heart of God with people. And we discovered, as you could hear from some of the testimonies, that people are far more ready and open to hear and receive the love of God and prayer for salvation than ever we thought possible. It's a different atmosphere out there right now. Okay, so we've done 2 weeks where we've talked about mission, mission mindset, and incarnational mission. So today I just wanted to say three things about what it means and what it's like to be missional people, living with this whole missional edge and missional emphasis in our lives. So, will you agree with me when I say this? Mission is our primary purpose as the church. That's what Jesus said, wasn't it? Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. That was his final command to us. Go and do it. Go and share the message. And would you agree with this, that missional people understand we've been sent? That the Spirit of the Lord is on us. That the word of Jesus is, go. What more do we need other than to just obey? Do you remember that old song, Trust and Obey? Or You Will Rust and Decay? That was a version we used to sing as youngsters just to annoy the old people. Did I really do that? I think I probably did. So, we're called to be missional people. People on mission for God. His hands, his feet, his representatives, wherever we live and wherever we are. So the first thing I want to say is this. Missional people are defined by purpose. You know, we are people with the greatest purpose on earth. Did you know that? Our purpose is to win the world for God. We have purpose. Sometimes people live their lives and there's no purpose. To be a film star, pop star, footballer, politician. What a pale reflection that is of the purpose that we have. To serve the purpose of God in our generation. That while we are alive, while we are here on the earth, God has entrusted you and I with the privilege and the responsibility of telling our world about him. Isn't that amazing? It's fantastic. Missional people live for something that's greater than themselves. And there's loads of people throughout the Bible who have done this. Living with purpose means everything else finds its right place in our lives. Our home, our families, our jobs, our hobbies, our recreation are all enriched and become more enjoyable when we are living out our discovered purpose that we are God's representatives in this world. Everything else is filled. Joseph, Joshua, Nehemiah, Daniel, so many Old Testament people, they lived for something greater than themselves. They were looking forward to something greater, and they sowed their life into something that they wouldn't see with these eyes, but they knew would be the case at some point if they lived this way. Paul lived for the purpose of making the gospel known across his world, and he established and planted churches everywhere to make sure that happened. Church history is full of people that we know who lived for something greater than themselves. Martin Luther, Hudson Taylor, Billy Graham. So many people who lived in their lifetime for something greater than themselves, the purpose of God. And we have the opportunity of joining with him on his mission to save this world. When we discover this primary purpose, why we are here, why do you think you're alive now? Why do you think God chose to put you on the planet right now? Why did he put you here in this location, in this church family? What is God's number one purpose for your life? It is to make the gospel known in your world. When we truly understand that, why we are alive, why we're called to this, I tell you what it does. It unlocks something in the human heart that's called passion. When you discover that purpose, when it dawns on us, like, wow, that's why I'm here, that's why I'm alive, it unlocks passion. And it stirs us to something. We can't sit still. When you discover that thing that God has called us to represent him to our world, it unlocks a passion deep within our heart. And that passion expresses itself in so many different ways. So I want to say this, that missional people are motivated by passion. When you see someone who's on a mission, don't you see that they're full of passion for it? Whatever that mission happens to be. But they're full of passion for it. And if we would learn how to harness and how to direct this God-given sense of determination and ambition into our purpose, wow, what a difference it makes, because it releases passion to fulfill it. And that's why vision is so important. And we're going to talk about vision into the autumn. Rightly embraced, it will direct us into passion for our purpose. And it becomes something that you can't put down, something that you can't deny, something that you have to go with. See, Nehemiah's passion for rebuilding Jerusalem is amazing. Initially, as you know, he's overwhelmed, isn't he, by the task and by his discovered purpose. God, you want me to rebuild Jerusalem? That's too big. I'm overwhelmed. But his passion for it rose up. What if God would be with me? What if this is why I'm alive? What if this is the reason I'm on the earth right now? And he steps into the purpose of God for his life with passion. David's passion for bringing the presence of God into the heart of his nation all springs from that sense of his purpose. While he was playing his guitar, singing God's songs to the sheep, God had already seen deep inside his own young teenage heart and knew that he would lead his people, that he would be a great king. And when David understood the purpose, when Samuel the prophet came for the big fellowship dinner and called the kid in and said, this is the one. He said, but he's only the teenager. Yeah, but God looks at the heart. And God has anointed this young man for purpose. And it is to lead my people. That released a passion in David so that he wanted to bring the presence of God back to the capital city. So he dances before the ark of God all the way there. And people criticized him for it. And his response was, I will become even more undignified than this, because my passion is greater than your criticism. Amazing. Passion. When we discover purpose, it releases passion. Paul's passion to make the gospel known across the world of his day. I know how many miles he did. What would he have been like with an internet, aeroplanes, and fast cars? He would have evangelized Mars as well. I mean, even in his day, when he had a walk or maybe a horse or a ship and shipwreck. He covered most of the Roman Empire. Amazing. What a man. What a guy. But it was what drove him? Passion. Because he found his purpose when Jesus met him, threw him off the horse, blinded him. Wow, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. I got purpose for you. I want you to go and make my name known to all the Gentile nations. Amazing. So he's up and he's going. And for all of his days, he served that purpose with great passion. Agreed? Well, why can't we do the same? He endured beatings. You might not have to endure this on mission to Wales. But Paul endured beatings, hunger, sleepless nights, hard work, slander, criticism. And despite all that, he sums up his passion for his purpose in 5 words. He says this, for Christ's love compels me. Wow. Wouldn't you love to have that ringing in your heart? So why did you go out on the streets when you were terrified? For Christ's love compels me. But why did you go and walk up to people on the street and start introducing yourself and telling them that God loves them? For Christ's love compels me. That was Paul. He could not do it. A passion's infectious, isn't it? It's transferable. Passion enables us to persist when we really feel like we want to step back. Passion informs and it ignites our actions. They become focused and purposeful. So finally, I want to say this. That missional people are empowered by prayer. See, when we've discovered that purpose and we live for it passionately, we will always find that it comes from, the power to do it comes from a vibrant life of prayer. Prayer is our lifeline, isn't it? To God. And if we have a powerful, dynamic connection to the Father through the Spirit, in that place of prayer, it changes our whole mindset and our whole approach. For Nehemiah, since we're talking about him, do you remember, was it not prayer that birthed the passion? Where he understood his purpose, it was in the place of prayer. When we're in that place, you know, we're likely to experience a mix, really, of determination, vision, energy, humility, belief, motivation, faith, along with all the challenges that that will involve. But how exciting, at least you know you're alive, when you've got that challenge and you've got your stomach turning over and you've got to overcome so many things in order to do it, at least you feel alive and that you're engaging with God on mission. For David, prayer was the air that he breathed. His relationship with God through prayer was what shaped his purpose and what released and fired his passion. He was a worshiper, was he not? And his whole life was his passion, was to bring a worship center to the heart of the nation that would shape the nation for generations to come. A worship center at the heart of national life. Didn't see it with these eyes, because Solomon had to build it. But he gave everything he had for the vision and the passion that he carried from the Spirit. And for Paul, well, prayer became the defining influence of his life, did it not? There's a great apostle of prayer who was every day on mission. I mean, I know in Acts we read of some of the apostolic journeys, the missional journeys, where he travels out with Barnabas and then some of the others, and they have great fun. They have a great time on their mission, don't they? And then they come back and report it to the leaders, and there's rejoicing. Well, I'm sure it was a little bit like what went on in Swansea when we did those testimonies, just recounting what God had done. Throughout his letters, as he writes back to the churches that he starts, his passion reveals so much about this man. And he's always saying to them, I'm praying for you all the time. I never stop praying for you. I am continually praying for you. And he tells us what some of his prayers are. But every letter he writes is soaked in this heart of prayer that his people would find passion and purpose in God. Listen to him writing to the Thessalonians. He says this. So with this in mind, friends, we pray for you constantly that our God will find you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. Amazing. He says, I never stop praying this, that you believers who've come together in a local church in your area, that you will be a force to be reckoned with in that region. And that God will count you worthy of the calling to be saints, and through his Spirit will empower you to go and fulfill every good purpose that's in your heart that's come from the Spirit. What a great prayer. Maybe we'll pray that over each other tonight. So come back tonight for that at 6 o'clock. We'll be praying that. So in the light of these examples, come on, let's seek to live lives that are defined by purpose, that are motivated by passion, and that are empowered by prayer. Missional people live in such ways. Missional people become selfless, generous, tireless, relentless, driven, clear, strong, powerful. passionate and purposeful. Wouldn't we want to be those sort of people? God, with your help, make us such people, we pray. Amen.